Did you know Bridgestone developed a tire using 75% recycled and renewable materials? Making a difference today for future generations. That's what really matters. Bridgestone, solutions for your journey. Visit whatreallymatters.com to learn more.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And now, prepare yourself for the only talk radio show you'll want to turn up.
Crank this thing.
Sirius XM Pandora presents the place where your hard rock and metal voice can still be heard.
You bet your ass, baby.
Unfiltered, uncensored, say whatever you want.
Hit the record button. Anything can happen, you know?
I know that ain't nobody out there came to be mellow tonight, now did you? I say there ain't nobody. I say there ain't nobody not out there that even wants to be a little bit mellow. Now is there? Anybody wants to get mellow, you can turn around and get the fuck out of here, all right?
This is the Trunk Nation Podcast with host A. Trunk.
What's up, everybody? It's Eddie Trunk, and welcome to another episode of the Eddie Trunk Podcast, new every Thursday and always free wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you for listening, and please be sure to subscribe so you do not miss one episode of the podcast. And every Thursday, you'll get some new stuff into your inbox featuring newsmaking interviews with some of the biggest names in rock and metal. And as I tell you every week, the interviews you hear and everything you hear pretty much outside of this segment itself originated on my SiriusXM radio show, which is called Trunk Nation, and now heard at a new time and on a new channel. Trunk Nation is now daily 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time, noon to 2 Pacific, live on Faction Talk, and that is SiriusXM channel 103. So please note that we are up and running on 103 in our new time slot. Again, 3 to 5 Eastern. Come on board and join me every day for rock talk, interviews, your phone calls, analysis, news, discussion. Hope you join me for the Daily Trunk Nation. You're just getting a tiny fraction of what I do on a daily basis on the radio if you are in the U.S. or Canada and only listen to the podcast. Be sure to follow me on social media as well, at Eddie Trunk. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and a Facebook page. A lot of upcoming appearances soon as well. 18th and 19th, I'll be in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, Monsters on the Mountain. On the 20th of August, I'll be in Tulsa hosting Poison, Tom Kiefer, and LA Guns at the BOK Center. Other stuff coming up is all on eddietrunk.com, including Rocklahoma, which is in the Tulsa area Labor Day weekend, and a lot of other stuff. I'll hit it as we get a little bit closer, but hope to see you out and about at some of these events. And again, be sure to keep an eye on social media for info, details, and updates, and also an ear to the radio on The Daily Show on SiriusXM, Faction Talk 103. Today I have for you a show from my Vegas studio, Anthrax, who are currently out on tour with Black Label Society and Hatebreed. Had the second stop of their tour happen in Las Vegas, my second home. I've got about a 35-year or actually more friendship with all the guys in Anthrax. Literally grew up with those guys in the New York area from day one, and they remain close friends to this day. So I hit them up to come by my Vegas home studio, and they did on a show day. Sitting in with me in my Vegas residence was Scott Ian, Frank Bello, Joey Belladonna, and Charlie Benanti. And we had a great time hanging out and doing pretty much an entire radio show live that day. And Zach Wild called in during the conversation. And it also led to some great conversation because we now know that Zach and Charlie are a part of this Pantera tribute that's going to go out. And they were very willing and open to talk about that, which we did do in this interview. So a lot of big stuff in here on Anthrax, Zach, BLS, and even Pantera. We take you now to Las Vegas a couple weeks ago. the Trunk Nation West studio, and Anthrax with a guest appearance from Zach Wild. Here's how that all went on the Eddie Trunk podcast. All right, we're back. We are live from Vegas, and joining me in the studio here, in sitting right in front of me, is Joey Belladonna, lead singer of Anthrax. Joey B, good to see you.
Hey, Eddie.
Hi, Fred.
Love Fred.
Thanks for inviting me to your house.
It's a stern thing right there.
Next to Joey B is Charlie Benanti. Good to see you, Charlie.
Hey, Eddie. How you doing?
Good, man. Good. Cool. What's the Kiss shirt today? What do we got? A Gene rock and roll. Wow. There's no way that's legit, is it?
It's legit.
It's legit?
Absolutely.
You bought that at kissonline.com?
GeneSimmons.com. GeneSimmons.com, and you're going to pay me for that shirt.
It is a great shirt, by the way. It's a great shirt.
By the way.
It's for the rock and roll anniversary. They did like four.
Really?
Each guy.
Yeah. Rock and Roll Over may be my favorite Kiss studio record. You agree?
Yep.
All right. That's we could do the whole show on that in a second.
Here. All right, let's do it.
And next to Charlie is Frankie Bello.
Hello, Eddie. How are you?
Who just asked me who won last night, Mets or Yankees. Mets won again, 2-0 in the Subway Series.
So Eddie's having his time with me right now. It's fine. I can deal with it.
It's been okay. Going on. Why stop busting balls after 40 years?
Look, Mets going to
do you think we'll have a Subway Series?
No, why?
What do you mean,
We had one in 2000, and if I remember correctly,
thanks, Scott.
The Yankees won the only Subway Series. Season series doesn't mean anything.
Really?
Season means nothing.
This is. Do you even know the Mets? Who's on that team? Does anybody care?
There's Scott Ian's over here, too.
Yes,
he's got a Yankee tattoo on his leg, so I'm...
What?
Don't you have a Yankee tattoo somewhere?
No, that's Gene Simmons.
But you don't have a Yankee logo somewhere? With all that ink, I thought you'd have that.
No, I don't.
How'd that escape you, Yankees logo?
You know, yeah, that's a good question. You know what? If somehow they can manage to beat the Astros and get through this year... maybe I'll do it this year.
If the Astros don't cheat, maybe they'll have a chance.
Oh, exactly.
Right, exactly.
That's a good point.
All right, so here we are with Anthrax in the studio, and they are on tour as we speak. The tour started the other day in Arizona, and they are playing tonight in Vegas, and they're just underway on a tour that is a co-headline with Black Label Society. And now, as we get warmed up with Anthrax welcoming into this madness, we welcome... I guess he's way too busy here in Vegas to actually physically be here. You guys made the effort.
Well, it's a long drive.
This guy couldn't make the effort to actually come 10 minutes to my place. But joining us right now is Zach Wild on the phone. What happened, man? What is so important for you to do in Vegas that you couldn't be here today?
What's going on? Now, I'll tell you what's going on. I'm going to disclose place out here somewhere in Vegas. I'm in my oxygen chamber right now, and I'm getting ready for tonight's big rock show. That's what's going on.
Are you touring Area 51, Zach?
Makeup and everything like that, rouge eyeliner and everything with the money that Charlie won yesterday here in Vegas.
Zach, how are you, man? You doing all right?
Yeah, everything's hot rocking, brother. So, just getting ready to roll with the fellas again tonight, man.
How was the first show for you?
It was a disaster. It was completely horrendous. But anyways, aside of that, everything's wonderful.
What's going on with the band?
Hatebreed completely smoked Black Label and Anthrax, and that's the reason why Jamie Joss is the Robert Redford of metal. Basically, That's what happened.
Scott, when was the first time that you met Zach? What was your first Zach experience?
We met when Anthrax opened for Ozzy back in 1988.
Miami, right?
No, Pensacola.
Pensacola, that first show. That was the Pensacola.
Yeah, okay. That's
what Scotty's forgetting to add was Scott was coming into the venue. And I said, "Hi, Scott. How you doing? I'm Zach. I'm a big fan." And he said, "Hey, get out of my face. Now go get my bags. Make me a ham sandwich." That's what happened. That was the first time I met Bob Scott.
It did not happen that way. It was similar to that.
Zach, get me some White Castle. I'm sorry. I apologize.
In 1988, Zach was a very different looking Zach Wild than he is now, wasn't he, Frank?
It was. Zach, remember that? I came into the dressing room with the boots.
At that point, I was a blossoming young starlet. Hollywood starlet, and it was what it was.
I think you had the Farrah Fawcett hair going.
Was it without a doubt.
Before Farrah, it wasn't Pamela Anderson. It was before Pamela Anderson. So without a doubt, it was more Farrah.
You were great since day one, though. We hit it off right away. That's what's great about it. As soon as we met, it was all on. So
I mean, it's pretty crazy that we're all, you know, that we're doing a tour. I mean, I just figured it was bound to happen eventually at some point. You know, I mean, like we'd all be rolling together. But no, it's great because we've all, I mean, aside of, you know, knowing the fellas and everything, we've all known Jamie for a while now too. So it's great.
Yeah, it's a great bill. It really is. And Zach, how's the band doing? How's JD? Is he still, you still killing him every chance you can get?
Who cares about him? He's a friggin' Mets fan. Who cares about him?
Here we go.
God, that boy doesn't care about him. Nobody cares about him. The only person that actually cares for JD is Rusty Staub. And that's about it. It ends there. Tom Siebert doesn't even like JD.
Wow.
And Ed Cranepool.
That's right.
Man.
Yeah, well,
when I come to this.
Ed Cranepool's on the fence with him. Because, you know, JD sided with, he sided with Pete Rose when he put the beat down on him. Oh, that was Bud Harrelson. I'm not sure. But anyway.
When I come to this show tonight, I'm going to have to get with JD because he's my only Mets ally. I'm seriously outnumbered here,
yeah,
I think,
Ed's,
with the Yankee fans.
Ed's going to wear his Tommy Agee jersey.
I got
jersey.
My hat right here.
He's got his hat, too. I see
him. Got my Mets hat ready to go. Hey, Zach, are you working on any new music, or are you just going to go out and play some shows right now?
Yeah, no. In between, you know, doing these shows, and then I guess, you know, me and Charlie being at Pantera University and then cleaning the dog run and then changing diapers and, you know, being the wonderful swell fella that I am. No, it really isn't enough time to do anything else. What are you talking about, Father Ed?
I just thought maybe you'd want to make a new BLS record at some point. I don't know.
An oxygen chamber out here in Las Vegas, and you're talking about writing new music. Just stop. Just carry on.
Well, let me ask you about that, because
this Yankee loss the other night. I'm still, like, completely crushed.
2-0. Scherzer owned you yesterday. Hey, listen. So Zach, you bring it up, and Charlie's sitting right here. I got half of this Pantera University, as you called it. Give me your thoughts on
it. I knew you were going to bring it up, but go ahead. Carry on.
How could I not? So tell me your thoughts about doing this.
Well, I mean, it's going to be awesome. I mean, yeah, I mean, the fellas have always, you know, when Vinny was still with us, I mean, you know, it was always rolling around that, you know, Zach, would you honor Dime and, you know, and all of us get together and do the thing. I said, fellas, whenever you want to do this thing, just I'll be over here waiting in the dugout and the bullpen and just call me in when you need me. You know, I'll learn everything and we'll go do this. So, but, you know, it's, throughout the years, you know, it there's always been, like, rumblings about it. So, you know, it wasn't until, obviously, now, you know, I was speaking on the phone with Phil. I think you could tell we might have been all on a group call, but Phil was just like, Zach, would you honor Dime and would you play? I said, yeah, Phil, of course, you know, I've always said I would. So, you know, of course. I said, if you guys want to do it, then let's do it.
Well, Zach, your name has always been associated with it ever since, you know, we lost Dime. It was always brought up. And like you said, it was talked about for years. Charlie, for you, are you and Zach going to, like, you're on tour together, actually. So that's kind of cool. Are you guys going to be able to work out some stuff? Are you going to start thinking about maybe even trying some,
no,
working
actually,
through some
we're
stuff
actually
musically?
Working out. I have my Richard Simmons tapes with us, and we do, you know, sweating to the old.
You're physically
we're
working out.
Pilates and stuff like that before the show, yes.
I saw Zach yesterday. I saw him at Starbucks yesterday, and then I brought that up. I said, hey, maybe one of these days you and I can get into a room, we could start jamming some Pantera. And he said, not going to happen.
Yeah, I go, yeah, Charlie, in between the oxygen chamber, me taking about 3 hours to get ready. I take more time than Gene Simmons does to get ready for these shows. Between my fishnets, making sure that my toenails and my nails match my rouge and my lipstick. No, I'm like, Charlie, when do you expect this to happen? It's not going to happen. I said, we'll keep doing our homework. And then when we get into rehearsals and we get into Pantera boot camp, then we start doing it.
Zach, have you, obviously you can play anything, we know that, but have you ever, because this has been rumored for so long, have you ever taken the time to really sit there and go through all those guitar parts and try to like kind of channel what Dime was doing? Have you figured out your approach to that? Is it going to be you trying to be as faithful to what Dime did, or are you going to do that in a little bit of your own thing? I mean, did you ever, have you thought about your approach
Me, I mean, you approach it the same way you do when I'm playing with Ozzy. You know, I mean, obviously you got to learn St. Rhodes' stuff, and I got to learn Jake's stuff, and, you know, whether we're doing the Sabbath stuff, you learn it as, and do it as faithful as you can to it. And, you know, Charlie's got to learn all of Vinny's parts. So, no, I mean, you do it like as if you approach it as if you're in a cover band. I mean, like when we do the Zach Sabbath stuff, you know, I don't start changing lyrics, you know, midway through War Pigs. You know what I mean? It's just like you learn the song, you know, so that's what you do.
That's the thing about the, you know, I can't go do this as the drummer from Anthrax because it would be a different sound completely. So when I'm going to do that, if you close your eyes, it's going to sound like it's Vinny, basically. Mm. And that's how it's going
to
be.
So that's your approach, Charlie. You're going to just lock in as to exactly what Vinny did.
100%.
Yeah.
The sounds is going to sound exactly like him.
We've done New Level and Cowboys from Hell and over the years with Anthrax. So, you know, I mean, it's something that it's not like it's too far out of Charlie's wheelhouse.
Yeah. I mean, we all know the songs really well.
And Zach, didn't you play some stuff at Dime Bashes too?
Now we ended up when we did the Dime Bash, that was the Zach Sabbath thing. But I mean, you know, back in I think it was 2014 when we were rolling with Down, Phil came out and Rex came out because he was in New York City when we were playing the PlayStation Theater, and we ended up doing Unbroken. So you know that was 2014. So we got out and did that. But now, I mean, you know, so now it's just a matter of, you know, Phil, you know, because we got like a group text with all the fellas in there, and it's just, you know, Phil came up with a bunch of tunes and stuff like that. You know, he just wrote it on a piece of paper. He said, guys, we'll see if we can learn these guys, and then we'll take it from there.
Charlie's saying he had something to do with this set list and what it was written on there.
It's just, I'm just, for me, I'm just like, whatever you guys want to do, just throw it in, you know, put it up there, and so I can sit and work on it.
When did you first get approached? I mean, we found out about this a couple of weeks ago when the news broke, which I'm hearing wasn't even supposed to come out at that time. It was kind of a leak. But when did this? How long has this been in the works behind the scenes?
Oh man, December, maybe.
Oh, for a while.
End of December, I was talking to Philip, and then he just mentioned it, and I said, "Oh yeah, sure, whatever," you know. And then it became real. Like about January, February.
Man, it's amazing that it was able to stay quiet as long as it did, something like that. That never happens. That's incredible.
I mean, to this day, if it happens, if there's one show that's played, great.
So is there a plan? Do you know when the first show is going to be?
No.
The way you say it is almost like you're not sure if there's going to be a first show.
I mean, if I can get Zach out of his chamber, maybe we can...
Zach, Charlie's worried about getting you out of the chamber in order to do this tour, actually.
No, I'm staying in the chamber.
And Charlie, I know it was important for you when you brought it up that you said, because you had texted me when the news came out, that for you, it's very much about your history with the band and that this is very much a tribute to the guys. That's your approach to
Absolutely.
It, right?
And I think everybody in our band here feels the same way about those guys. You know, it's like we go back a long way. Like
86.
80, maybe even 85.
85, yeah.
Yeah, it's very much family with Pantera.
We
total family.
We played a show at a place called Cardi's in Houston, and Pantera were the opening band.
It was 86.
It was 86.
Summer of 86.
Hellstar was on the bill. And it's the first time we met them. I mean, my friendship with Daryl, you know, goes a long way, and I love both of those guys so much. So for me, it was a very emotional thing when, you know, to do this. So that's what it's all about. It's all about those two guys, you know, and doing it. I don't want to see anybody else doing it but me. You know what I mean? And because I'm going to do it right.
Zach, you feel the same way?
Yeah, of course, man. So, you know, like we've... you know, I've always answered it like whenever it's come up, you're celebrating the guys and you're celebrating all their achievements and their greatness, and that's what it is. I mean, I just tell everybody that, because somebody was just like, how can they call a Pantera reunion? I go, well, it is. Well, it's Phil and Rex getting back together, you know, because they haven't played together for a while. But I go, it's a Pantera celebration. I mean, that's what it is. I mean, it's just like no different than Mitch and Noel from the, you know, Experience Hendrix asking Eric Clapton to come out and sing and play Jimmy's stuff and honor him. It's, and they're going to go out and honor Jimi Hendrix. So, I mean, it's, to me, it's the same thing. So, I mean, like, you know, because, I mean, with Ozzy, we honor St. Rhodes every night. Every time we're playing, I don't know, Mr. Crowley, everything. You're honoring Randy. So, I mean, the whole thing is, it's just, to me, it's just an extension of that. You're honoring Dime, you're honoring Vinny, and you're honoring Phil and Rex, you know, all the guys, their achievements, what they achieved as Pantera, and all the mountains they conquered. So that's the way I look at it. It's the way I've always looked at it.
These are songs that need to be played live.
Yeah.
They deserve to be played, these songs. They shouldn't just sit, you know. It needs to be a live experience. And just think about the generations of fans that never got to see it in any way, shape, or form. And now they're going to get to see this celebration of a band that did, you know, break so much new ground in the world of heavy metal.
And just the two guys actually doing it, him as Charlie and Zach, it's not.
Yeah, to me, it's
that's the right
the
fit.
Right guys. Absolutely. For sure. I mean, immediately, so. I felt that way. Hey, Zach, one more quick thing, and then I'll let you go. Get back to your chamber here. I know you got a lot of warm up and vocal prep to do for the show tonight. I know there's a procedure here, but my question
I really
is,
don't care about the vocals. I'm just worried about my nails and my rouge and my eyeliner. But carry on.
Rouge.
He said it so well. Rouge.
These guys talked about
you know.
These guys talked about when they first saw Pantera and met those guys. What do you remember the very first time you saw the band or met them? I mean, having such a friendship and history, what was the first time I saw Pantera was the Fastlane in Asbury Park for like 100 people. That was the first time I saw and met them. But for you, Zach, wow. When was the very first time you met them?
No, with Pride and Glory, we did Donington, and we saw it was on the bill. It was Aerosmith headlining, then Extreme, then Pantera. I mean, that was like the top three billing, which was pretty insane. But I mean, but yeah, seeing Pantera and for, you know, with that style of music and their and them doing it, I mean, at Donington, I mean, that's the perfect fit. You know, just, I mean, the energy was just absolutely mind-blowing. I mean, that's where, I mean, the band, you know, aside of the amazing records and everything like that, but that is completely in their element. I mean, it's just like absolutely mind blowing. I mean, just the power coming off the stage and, you know, with that music and everything, it was just, and the band sounded great. I mean, the whole performance and everything like that. So it was, it was really special. That's for sure.
Well, listen, man, I know the fans obviously are extremely excited about this, and I think I agree that you and Charlie are the ways to do it for sure if it's going to happen. So I wish you luck with it, and I'll see you tonight at the gig, and I'll let you get back to your chamber. I'm going to continue with the Anthrax guys here because they thought enough of me to actually make the ride out here. So
it's got a long drive.
You know, I'm renting this thing from Michael Jackson, and it ain't cheap, so I can't, you know. I got bills. I got it sitting here. I gotta use it, bro.
All right, man. I'll bring you a Mets hat to wear on stage tonight, or a jersey or something if you want. Piazza sent me some stuff.
If you want to have your legs broken, then you can bring a Mets jersey. So there you go.
Hey, man. Take care. I'll see you later on tonight. All right.
All right, Father. See you in a bit. Fellas, see you in a little while.
Hey,
I gotta go back to the chamber. I'll talk to you in a bit, fellas.
All right. Thanks for the time. Tell JD to open the door for you so you can get back in the chamber.
All right, guys.
I'll see you, man.
Bit, fellas.
Bye. There he goes, everybody. Zach Wild checking in. Charlie, it's going to be a trip when you do this with this guy. You know that, right? I mean, this tour you're on now is a good warm-up for what you got coming up with him.
I know, dude. I'm like, wow.
It's always full-on when it comes to Zach, but it's great, man. It's nonstop laughs, that's for sure.
They're going to need to have rouge on the rider.
Exactly. Black nail polish.
At Delta, we know Mike in HC prefers reality TV to reality. So we provide more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. On the next flight, 8C is Mandy, a foodie. So we offer all types of food options. Because at Delta, everyone flies their own way. Delta, keep climbing.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's Mix and Match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
We thank Zach Wild for some time. Good to check in with him. And now we do this hour with Joey Belladonna, Charlie Benanti, Frank Bello, Scott Ian here in Vegas with me in the Vegas studio as they get ready for the second show of this tour with Black Label Society and Hatebreed on the bill as well. First show in Houston, how'd it go, Joey? How'd you feel about it?
Phoenix, that's right.
How was it?
It was really good. I thought, you know, for a first show, felt pretty smooth, you know?
You haven't played, one of you guys, because we all went out last night. By the way, we had a great time. Chris Angel's show was awesome, and then our friend Chris Santos taking care of us at Beauty in Essex, great dinner. So we had a great night last night here in Vegas, but one of you guys was telling me last night that last night was the first Anthrax show in like 3 years.
No.
Is that right?
No.
We've played one-offs. We've done 10. We've done 10 one-off shows over the last year, like festival shows, like some of the Wimmer festivals and whatnot over the last year. But last night was Phoenix was our first indoor show, like on tour indoor show since November of 19. That's when we finished the For All Kings touring cycle.
How did it feel for you, Scott?
I thought it was amazing. I had a lot of nerves, a lot of anxiety. It was sold out. The crowd was ready to go. We have a lot of production stuff on this tour that we've never had before in the history of the band. It's like the biggest production I think we've ever had. And it all
Charlie go up on the drums and you got steps and risers.
We couldn't do it in Phoenix because of the low ceiling, but
it's there.
Frankie flies across the audience.
Grab my rope
gun.
No, yeah! we're gonna levitate. Now Chris Angel taught us how to levitate
last
night.
Exactly.
But yeah, all that stuff went off without a hitch. There's some really cool production. I thought the set list really worked. There's some stuff in the set that we either have never done or haven't done in a really long time, and it really was an amazing night, and all that anxiety dropped off immediately as soon as the show started, and it was great.
What is some of the production stuff you've never done before that he's talking
staging,
about?
Staging, we got some bells and whistles. I don't want to tell you. You're going to see this tonight.
You were saying it might not fit in there tonight, in this venue tonight.
We'll get everything in that we can.
Yeah.
You know, one of the main things, you know, which is kind of in the show opener, I think that will be in there, certainly. That's definitely going to be in the show.
People will like that.
Yeah.
Look, it's great to be back first. And you know, it's weird doing another show right in a row, almost in a row. So we had a day off yesterday, but now we're on tour. We haven't done this in forever.
We haven't seen the bus yet either.
We haven't seen it. We're going on a tour bus. It's very strange since forever.
Tonight starts a three in a row because it's Vegas tonight. And get your tickets. There's only like a couple of hundred tickets left, so you don't want to miss it. Palladium on Friday in Los Angeles, which is also like 100 tickets away from selling out, and then Sacramento on Saturday. So it's like our first three in a row in years. Yeah.
So when you say you didn't have a bus yet, you're getting your bus tonight?
Yeah, we've been flying.
We've been flying.
Oh, all right. And Charlie, for you, getting ready for a tour as a drummer too, you got to go through a lot? Do you go through a lot? Do you start playing a lot?
I've been playing a lot lately, like a lot. So not only, you know, learning Anthrax songs, because there's two songs in the set that we haven't played over 10 years.
Which two?
Can't tell you.
Go on setlist.com.
No, actually three songs we haven't played in a long time. Keeping in the Family, we haven't played that in, God, maybe the tour with Public Enemy.
Right.
Metal Thrashing Mad,
Oh, awesome.
And We Play Only.
Yeah. Right.
Which is another one that was, I enjoyed playing that so much the other night. Like, I was in my zone. I was just loving it.
Joey, how do you feel about singing only?
Singing anything else.
I saw a clip of you singing it. You sounded great doing it.
It's fine.
Why wouldn't he?
Well, not? It's not his era.
What are you trying to say?
It's not. It's the one song not from a record he made. That's all.
I just come out of the chamber and just do it.
You know? So, Zach, you're in the Zach chamber.
I'm in the chamber. I was all set.
But I mean, when he joined the band, he had to sing like the Fistful of Metal stuff.
Yeah.
And he made it his own. Yeah. So that's.
I'm playing Fistful of Metal stuff.
Yeah, oh, that's right.
Yes, yeah,
see?
Wait, what are you doing from Fistful of Metal?
Metal Thrashing Man.
Yeah, but there's the other the version of that from the EP.
Same idea.
So, no, I thought that was cool that Only was in the set. And it's this, because this really is, in a way, still like the 40th anniversary celebration, yes, right. The continuation of that.
Yeah, because we never got to do it in our 40th year. We didn't get to play any shows to properly commemorate that. So we're 41 now, but we're celebrating our 40th still.
So you, yeah, all you got to do to celebrate it was to make Zoom videos and online. Yeah. But that was great. I got to tell you, the way you guys put all those parts up there on YouTube.
The docs.
Yeah. I thought it was fantastic, and because you talked to everybody and you covered every era and it went right through the whole history of the band. Is there a plan to maybe edit that all together as like maybe 1 2-hour thing instead of all those parts on YouTube?
I mean, the hardest part about that would be connecting with everybody who is in it to say, hey, we would like to put this out, you know, because originally we weren't putting it out. This was just done for web, you know, so that would be the thing that would be the tough thing to do. Contact everybody and say, hey, we'd like to put this out as a full documentary, you know, and get more footage, too.
Yeah, we are actually using, I don't want to give too much away, but we do have kind of like a callback to the documentary series as part of the show.
Yeah. Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah, you'll see. Just be there, you know, during set change between Black Label and Anthrax.
Yeah.
It's like a trailer, you know.
And I mean, the show the other night, it was just, it was nonstop.
Yeah.
It was just nonstop. It was just such a great... The pacing of the set and the audience was so, I don't know, man. It was just a great marriage for, you know, us and the audience.
Yeah, there's no downtime. You know? There's no go take a piss. It's not going to happen. It's right after another. So
there's no power ballad.
No, there's nothing like that. No, it's in your face. I'm very happy with it.
And how did, Joey, for you getting ready to go out on a tour like this and sing every night or five nights a week or whatever, what's your ritual like vocally? Or you just go do it? I mean, are you the big warm up prep guy, or you just go do it?
No, I don't warm up. I talk with everybody in the hallway. You know, I sing at home and stuff. I like to fart around and stuff.
But you're not the warm up, warm down guy. You never did any of that.
No,
that's amazing.
Like Ronnie.
Well, that's it. I was just going to say, Dio was the same.
I just never did any. I heard people doing it. I walk away.
No. You ever have problems with your voice ever in your history of singing?
I had a sinus infection back in, what was it, 86? I don't know where we were.
86. Wait, think about it. One time in my life, I had a sinus.
He's never been sick of it.
I've been fine since then.
We were over in Santa Rosa or something. I was having problems.
He had vertigo one time and he still sang
six days in a row.
Six days in a row. He had bad, like he was dizzy. He had to hold on to the drum riser. Yeah. He still sang.
Nauseous.
Like, no problem.
But you guys, that's got to be an amazing feeling for you guys to have a singer.
Amazing. There's so much insight.
There's a lot of old inside.
Yeah,
New York
I know.
Stuff,
it's great.
Tom Brown stuff.
Inside baseball.
He should be here with us.
But that's got to be incredible to have a singer, Charlie,
absolutely,
that you know every night. You don't have to deal with, like, you know, is he going to... We all heard LSD, lead singer's disease, all these problems these guys have. I mean, that's...
Oh, he has that. Yeah. Well,
Yeah. Well, you know.
He's no angel.
But he's like, I put him in the same thing as like a Dio, as a Robin Zander, you know. Yeah.
Bruce Dickinson.
Bruce Dickinson. He goes out and he delivers every night.
He does
night.
His gig. And that's the great thing,
you know?
About it. Like
he's a
play.
Pro. He's a fucking pro. Yeah.
You know, you talk about Robin Zander, who we all love.
Oh, yeah.
I spent a lot of time talking to Robin, including recently. Anybody ever tell you remind
all the time?
To
dude, I've been saying this forever. I told Robin, you are Joey Belladonna, and I tell him the same. Well, remember, you guys are the same.
Remember when we did Persistent of Time? They were in the same complex where we were
at
and we hung
Oakwood.
Out with them.
Oakwood.
That
Oakwood.
Was the night,
dude.
Yeah, with Robin. It was.
I
like,
said, "You're Belladonna. You're look at him, and you are him."
We went out with him in a van that one night too. That was
got so
drastic,
man.
You know,
great
oh
times. We had some good times.
Well,
I had
an unbelievable experience with Cheap Trick at the Oakwoods as well. Previous to that, Vito Bratta was. I was staying with him. White Lion were making a record. And Cheap
he was
Trick,
with it. He was there.
Cheap Trick was maybe this is around the same
time. That was
time.
It. Yeah, that was it. Because he bought a Tom Peterson went out.
That's right. We went out to a club. Yeah. It was
he bought a vet that day or
yeah,
something.
That's right.
Yeah,
he bought a new vet. Vito brought a new vet.
Wait a minute. This is crazy.
Were you there?
Yes.
Yeah.
This is crazy because we all went out. So Cheap Trick were making the record.
Yeah.
It can't be the same.
Yeah, year. His son was golfing with him. I remember him staying up. They were working on stuff, and
we were
like 10 years old.
We were doing Persistence, I think.
Yeah.
We were recording Persistence.
Yeah, at A&M.
Definitely, yeah.
This is
Conway.
Crazy.
Conway
exactly.
Studios,
that's right.
Yeah. No. We did the drums at A&M, I thought.
Conway.
And then, but we were in Conway at the time doing most of everything else.
Yeah.
We went out. Vito and I went out with the Cheap Trick guys. They were recording. They were staying in the apartment next door. And I wrote about this in my first book, and these guys still bust my balls about it when I see them. Because we went to dinner, and then we went to some club, all of Cheap Trick, myself, and Vito. And you said about Tom Peterson, that's when Tom was drinking. Tom got so drunk.
I was gone.
That we lost him.
Yeah, same with us. We did the same thing. It's like he disappeared. Nobody could find him.
We could not find him. And this is a God's honest true story. And Tom laughs about it every time because, of course, he doesn't remember.
We went to the Rainbow first, too. I remember at one time.
We didn't go
that night, too.
We didn't go to Rainbow, but we came back. We lose Tom in the club. Everybody's like, okay, good night, whatever. Tom went off with whoever, wherever, whatever. And Vito and I go back, and I was staying in Vito's apartment. Next morning, we get up. Vito wanted to go to some car show. And we were at the light, waiting for the light to turn at the end of the apartments on Barham or whatever street
is.
And Vito's sitting there. He's like, he's looking at me next to me in the car, and he goes, you think Tom's okay? I mean, I wonder what happened to Tom. And I go, I mean, he's an adult. I'm sure he's okay, whatever. I swear to you, there's shrubs, and the shrubs started rustling while we're waiting for the light. And Vito nudges, Vito elbows me, and he goes, look, holy shit, look. And I go, what? And crawling out of the shrubbery was Tom Peterson.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's good.
So great.
It's funny to say that. It's definitely the same night, man. I'm telling you, there's no way.
He got dropped off at whatever hour.
Yeah.
At the and there was a hill to get up to the apartments.
Yeah,
he couldn't do
I
the hill.
That too.
So he just napped in the shrubs.
In the bushes.
Wow.
And Vito's Corvette rumbling shook him, and he got up and he shook it off and he started walking up the It is something I will never forget. And because I told Tom about it, when he's in LA, he will take a picture of those shrubs and send them to me. Get ready to go to bed.
Did he laugh?
The best. Those guys are the best.
Running
the
Rick
best.
Springfield at the pool.
Oh, we've all been there.
Wow.
Shit, when that time Lars dove into the bushes in Romania.
Yeah,
that
time.
I did too. I didn't.
He's pretty drunk.
We dared each other.
Yeah, it's
that was fun.
It's great. It's great stuff. So, all right, so psyched to be back out on the road. The tour is just underway. Everybody's ready to go. Everybody feels good. Everybody's sounding good.
Thankfully,
Vibe is good. Everything's all. Have you talked about new music? Has there been any talk about a new record?
Oh, for years. I mean,
literally years.
Because we were already working on stuff pre-COVID. You know, I talked about this with someone the other day. Like, if COVID doesn't happen, we would have had a record out already. You know, but you know that just kind of shut everything down.
in so many ways, but also one of the ways was just creatively. And it just kind of, you know, for me anyway, I don't want to speak for anyone else, but like, I know for me, that first year of COVID was just kind of like a, just like a blank, you know what I mean? Like it was hard to motivate. I did other things to keep myself motivated and moving forward in my life. But the idea of trying to write, you know, when everything was just so weird and literally the ground underneath you, you didn't know if it was solid anymore on this planet. It made it kind of hard for me to think that way. But coming out of that first year, then suddenly like the light turned on and it was like, oh wait, I got a lot of shit I want to talk about now. So,
and I was the opposite. I did the opposite of that. All I did was kind of write and just go dive into it, you know.
Well, you did a record of covers.
Yeah.
You did like all that YouTube stuff.
Yeah. And in between that, just writing like, you know, material, just trying to keep myself as busy as possible because I was going crazy.
I think I was going crazy too. Depression. I went into depression. So music was the outlet. Writing, that was the outlet. That was the all we really had because we couldn't travel and all that stuff. You know, we talk on FaceTime and all that stuff. That's not, you can't write a record like that. It just doesn't work. Not with us anyway.
But you guys motivated me to do it. That's the thing. I was motivated.
But you guys were all pretty much active as far as doing stuff with the internet, like everybody was.
Sure. And
you did a streaming show, right? There was a streaming concert.
Kind of after. That was late after, in the game already. That we did that, you know, that was in already late 21-ish. Right. So... But yeah, you know, just trying to find ways to navigate your way through that. And that documentary series we did, certainly, I think, kind of got the ball rolling for me, too, just because I was able to dive into that so deeply and, you know, be a part of helping to make that happen. And, you know, just being a part of that and kind of producing that with everyone in the band and Jack Bennett, who did all the editing and all the interviews for us.
That was fun. That was fun to do that.
Yeah, and then so we kind of came out of that, and yeah, we do have. We've been in a room together a few times, and we do have
a collection.
A collection of arrangements and songs. Some actually have lyrics written, and we're hoping on this tour, once we kind of get rolling and get into a groove, that we'll be able to be in the dressing room and really work on stuff.
Yeah.
Too.
Joey, what did you do during the? You live in upstate New York, and you know, out in the woods there. What do you do? What did you do during the pandemic? Did you make music? You got a Journey band, I know, on the side.
Yeah, we're recording that stuff. I did a Triumph thing for Triumph.
Right.
I did a Dio live. Right after, I mean, literally the week after we did our Anthrax one, I went back out and did the Dio one.
That's right. Which, I hosted that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And every other song was, and here's Joey Belladonna. I know. Well, they
kept handing me songs, and like, wow, I'm like, okay, I guess I'll go. And I just kind of whipped up as much as I could.
Now, on the Journey stuff, you're actually going to re-record Journey songs with your Journey tribute?
Yeah, I'll just record all the ones we know.
And how far along are you doing that? You're going to put that out as a record then?
I don't know. Just record just for fun for now, and we could put it out. I don't know. I haven't really gotten that far.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But you can record whenever you want to record, you know?
And what did you do on the Triumph tribute that's coming out? What songs?
I just did one.
Just one?
Yeah.
Can you say which
one? I don't know if I was... I guess, did I ever?
Did you do Magic Power?
I don't think... Yeah. Well, whatever. I picked the one I wanted.
Well, so. You'd be great singing Magic
Power.
Yeah,
good. I did it with Mike Klink.
Yeah. Well, you know, Klink Cooper, who's producing that, called me up, and he said to me, can you give me any singers? Because we have a ton of people that will sing the Gil Moore stuff. We can't find anybody with a voice high enough that will do the Rick Emmett stuff.
I would have done more if they wanted me to.
They might be calling you because I think they got Ann Wilson to do a Rick Emmett song.
He was supposed to, yeah.
Yeah, but that was a big problem because of the way his voice is. One other thing on Anthrax that I want to ask you guys about before we then go and take some calls from the audience is, I'm hearing about a remix of Among the Living. Can you talk about that?
Oh, yeah. The
Dolby.
The Dolby Atmos thing. Jay is putting it together right now. And we have the master tapes, which we didn't even know if they survived that fire or not. But apparently they did. And Jay has been remixing it. And I heard some of it. And I was just blown away. Like,
oh, you actually heard some of the mix already, huh?
Yeah, Jay played some, and I was just like, dude, this sounds amazing, as if we did it yesterday.
Is it Jay Rustin, who's worked on your records, and I love his work, and he's a friend as well. So this will be kind of like Holy Diver just came out, Joe Breeze.
Oh, I love that. I saw that yesterday.
Yeah. So this is going to be like an alternate mix of the record.
Oh, Joe Barisi remixed Holy Diver?
Yeah.
Oh, it's really good.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
I forget how many good songs are on that record.
Yeah, that's so good. Yeah.
But that's the idea of doing Among the Living, just an alternate take on it?
Well, the record company, Universal, approached us to do it because they've been doing doing these. And, of course, they picked that record first. So yeah. It's going to be awesome, though.
They had a list, apparently, of the albums that hadn't been done yet in Dolby Atmos, and we were high up on that list. They really, you know, were interested in doing that with us.
But doing it as Dolby Atmos is one thing, but doing it as just a straight remix is another. It's going to be a straight remix too, right? Not necessarily a surround sound thing.
Well,
because that's what Holy Diver is.
Holy Diver is remixed by Joe Barisi, but this is going to be Dolby Atmos. But Jay is also going to remix it.
Yeah, he's probably going through every track, mix. Everything.
So it is both.
I mean, the tones are so awesome, and
what it should be
so heavy.
Right?
Yeah, he sent me some guitar tracks when he first got the tapes, and he said I'm putting these masters up, and he sent me like guitar tracks from some of the songs. I was like, holy shit!
And it's great to hear yourself play on these tracks, right? It's just amazing.
He sent me just my Cotton Amash, just the guitar. You know, and I was like,
you sit there for hours and just divulge all that, like, wow.
Damn. You know,
Each of you feel Among the Living is considered by most to be the classic Anthrax record? Do you all agree with that or no?
I always said it was the record that gave us a career.
Yeah, it's the record we broke, the band broke on that album. It's the one that... It left such a stamp on the planet that we're still doing this.
Look at all the tunes, you know.
And four songs never come out of the set from that, right?
They have to be there. I mean, people get mad. That's
great.
True.
Yeah.
And it's funny because the other four bands that were considered, you know, the big four, the four records that we all put out at the same time were the signature records of those bands, too. Metallica with Puppets, Rain and Blood, P-Cells, and Among the Living.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. Do you think there could... Now, we know Slayer's retired, but everybody always comes back. Always. Kiss just added another 100 shows. They did.
100 shows. Literally 100 shows.
For real.
Yeah, book it.
I had no idea.
Right?
Wow.
Well, every time the road ends, they find a way to put more road.
Well,
yeah.
A lot of papers going on there.
The road keeps getting repaved.
And you know, and I got to say this because I'm, you know, huge Kiss fan, and it's like there's still a generation that's never seen
that. That's the thing with us,
band.
Too. People come out, they've never seen us. They get to see almost the whole band still.
Yeah.
And that's the thing about Kiss. I know people, you know, oh, I don't like that. I like it. I don't like it. But for me, it's like, hey, if they could do it, continue to do it.
Fuck yeah.
But do you think that there's a, assuming Slayer came out of retirement, do you think there's ever a chance there could be another Big Four show again?
Yes.
There's always a chance. Of course, I mean, of course, you know, everybody knows who's makes the call on whether or not that's ever going to happen.
Initially, of course.
Metallica. It's, you know,
then it gets real. Then it gets real. That would be cool.
It's their ocean liner, you know, and you know, us and Megadeth and Slayer get to hook our little dinghies to the back of it.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, we would all love to do it. I think if anything could ever make that happen again, it would be Metallica making that call to all the bands. Of course, specifically, you're talking about Slayer, who is currently not active.
Right.
So,
yeah, I saw Kerry because he's lived here in Vegas forever, ran into him at Costco.
Great place
I
to
did.
See him.
Yeah,
that's a good visual right there.
Well, it was even funnier because it was when everyone had to be masked. And he has the mask on, and he's in line at the pharmacy, and I see him, and he's just, you know, he's Kerry being Kerry with the mask, and all, you know, buttoned up, and like, I see him, and he's in line, and I just go up behind, and I push him, and I shock it like that, and he turns around like this. We're doing video on this. It's you, Trump. You're ready? And he pulls the mask down. He goes, I'm just wearing the mask so people don't recognize me in here. I'm just trying to get a prescription. But he's working on something new. And I asked him, because I said to him when I talked to him, I said, well, you got to admit, man, for a band that never got one song on the radio or anything. I said, you guys went out as strong as you could go out. Two nights at the Forum playing arenas. He's like, yeah, we went out like Tom Brady. What did he say? We went out, made some football analogy. And I said, yeah, you did. I said, but you know, there's always that comeback tour or something like that. And he's just like, not going to happen.
Nope.
And he went on. He went on to say some things.
Here's your answer.
He went on to say some things that probably you wouldn't want me to share on the air as to exactly why. So I'll leave it. I'll cut it there. But he also elaborated a little bit more on his thoughts on why it would never happen. I'll for once not get in trouble and leave it at that. So, but I don't believe nobody's ever retired and stayed retired, to my knowledge. Nobody.
Right. Rush. Before,
but they never played the farewell card. They just kind of said, well, maybe we might be done, because they didn't know fully. So they didn't play that. Nobody that I know of has ever said farewell and not come back at least once. Mm. So, I mean, Slayer's on the clock. We'll see.
I mean, the thing about that is, even during the pandemic, you know, we're musicians, but at the end of the day, we're also entertainers. So it felt weird not to entertain in some way, you know. So it's in the blood. Right. So, I mean, it's great you could retire for a couple of years, but then you have to wake up that one day and go, yeah, you know, I want to do this again, you know, if you could do it.
Right, right. All right, we got to do a break, and then when we come back, we'll go to the phone calls for the rest of the hour. We got Joey Belladonna, Charlie Benanti, Frank Bello, Scott Ian. Anthrax is in the house. The tour has just started. The bill is Anthrax, Black Label Society. In case you just joined us, Zach was on with us earlier. You can go on the app and hear that or catch the replay if you missed it. But the tour is also with Hatebreed opening, and it plays Vegas tonight at the Brooklyn Bowl. As Scott said, a few tickets left tonight and for the show in L.A., which is at the Palladium tomorrow. Go to the Anthrax website to see all the dates, your tickets. Are you doing meet and greets? Are there VIPs now or no?
Yeah, we are.
Are you behind plexiglass like Kiss, or what are we doing?
No,
we're borrowing Zach's chamber.
Yeah. we're doing it more of like a Q&A format, and which people actually get to spend a lot more time with us because we're together.
It's more fun.
For like a solid 30, 40 minutes instead of just walk up, step and repeat, you know, photo, goodbye, where you get 5 seconds, sign your thing, goodnight. You're actually hanging with us, and I actually think the experience is way cooler.
All right, cool. So you can get all information on that. It is also available on the Anthrax website, I'm sure, which is just anthrax.com, right?
Yep.
And there you go. Let's begin with a few phone calls for the guys, and our first caller, who's been waiting since the beginning of the show, is Rich, who's in New York. Go ahead, Rich. You're on the air.
Hey, Ed. Hey, gentlemen. How you doing tonight? Good to talk to you. I'm just getting ready to go out to the Metallica show out in Grand Park in Chicago. I wanted to give you guys, and I'm looking forward to your show out in Brooklyn. I think that's a great bill you guys put together. You probably should have had the show at L'Amour. So I never had a chance to see you guys. I missed you out in Yankee Stadium that day. I got stuck in traffic in the Bronx, and I missed you guys on the first set. So I'm going to be heading out there. And my only question is, I don't even want to say it's a question, Eddie. I'm just going to complain. Guys, Friday night in Brooklyn is really tough, man, out in Coney Island to get to. You know,
we don't go on till about 9:30. So just, you know, leave at the appropriate time.
Oh, yeah, no.
Use Waze. It'll tell you what to do.
Yeah, no. I'm going. It's going to be a great show. But I'm saying, just to get out to Brooklyn on a Friday, I might have to leave Rockland on Thursday. And I think
you can file your complaint with TKO, our agency.
Our agency.
And I'm sure they'll get right back to you.
I'm showing up there, guys.
Next time we do it in I'm just busting your balls.
It'll be fun. It'll be worthwhile.
Rich, you've never seen Anthrax live? You're from New York, and you never saw Anthrax live?
You know, Eddie, I hate to admit that, and I just said, and I missed him at the Big Four show at Yankee Stadium that day because we
played all the shows from that, you know.
I don't... Yeah, I know.
Before that, after.
And that's why I'm going out to Brooklyn on Friday night, August 26th at Coney Island Stadium to see Anthrax.
Thank you, Rich.
He's a hype man. I like this guy.
Black Label Society. I'm really looking forward to it, guys. And good luck, and hopefully this will be my first of many Anthrax shows.
Thanks, hey, Rich. Thank you, Rich. Before you go, Mets or Yankees, Rich?
Oh, and I don't want to complain, Eddie, but they're playing a Met game at Citi Field that night, so I got to add that into driving out there. Met fan, I was just at Wrigley Field 2 weeks ago. I caught the Met.
Oh, we got to go.
There you go. We
got to
go.
We got to go. Sorry.
Hey, Rich, make sure you wear a nice, beautiful blue and orange base Mets hat when you go to that Anthrax show. Stand right in front of Frankie. He'll like that. He'll be
fine.
Very
I'll
excited
think,
about
I
that.
I think it's great. You guys have your time.
Here's Natalie. Here's Natalie in Utah. Natalie, go ahead. You're on with Anthrax.
Hello. Hi. Me and my dad are on our way to Las Vegas right now to see the show, and we're just super stoked. And we listen to you all day, every day, and so I'm very excited. We're very excited.
Well, thank you. So you are en route right now, driving from Utah to Vegas to see Anthrax tonight.
We are. This will be my first time seeing them.
Wow. Awesome. Very thank cool. you.
Thank you for coming. Thanks, Dad, for taking her.
Natalie, if you don't mind me asking you, how old are you?
I just barely turned 21.
Oh, okay. So that makes sense that this is the first time you're seeing Anthrax.
It's awesome. It's great.
I think Rich is around my age, so he has no excuse whatsoever. Yeah. He had about 55 opportunities, but Natalie, I think that's great that you're seeing
it. What's great about this, you're seeing it right here. The younger generation's coming in and finding out about Anthrax, which is great, and coming to see it for the first time.
Natalie, how did you become aware of the band's music?
My dad is a rocker. We go to lots of shows together. We've seen Megadeth, Metallica, Iron Maiden. And so he asked if I wanted
Thank
to go.
Thank you, Dad.
How could I say no?
Tell Dad that's some great parenting. And you guys drive safe, and maybe we'll see you, Natalie, in the mosh pit. Are you going to get on the floor, go in the pit?
I got some glitter platform Crocs I'm wearing.
I don't know if you're going to be wearing that in the pit. Thanks, Natalie, for the call. You might want to save those for when you go to the stadium tour. I don't think you want to wear those tonight. Thank you, Natalie, and enjoy the show tonight in Vegas. I'll see you there. Here's Jeff, who's in Palm Springs, California. What's going on, Jeff?
Hey, Brother Trunk and Anthrax. Thank you. So I have two questions for Anthrax, but before I ask them, I just have to be a total fanboy really quick. So I just want to let you guys know, I used to think Spreading the Disease was the greatest Anthrax record. It was the soundtrack for my childhood until I heard Worship Music. And I heard Worship Music, and I just thought, holy shit, this is the Holy Grail. This, and I cannot imagine anybody else except for Joey Belladonna singing those songs on that record. So just want to put that out there.
Awesome. Thank you.
So thank you, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. So my first question is, when you guys are in Las Vegas, other than the Bootlegger Bistro, where do you guys grub? And my second question is, if I can ask you guys about the new record that I know you guys have been working on, you know, can you give us any updates on when we might actually get a first single? And will any of the songs, are they even close to being ready enough to play live?
Where do we grub? Let's go with that one.
Well, we didn't go to Bootlegger, Jeff. We actually went to Beauty in Essex last night, which our friend Chris Santos owns and is also a great spot. So we didn't get there. We're talking about going tonight, but they close early and you guys are on late. Bootlegger's awesome. As far as new music, we touched on that a little bit earlier. It doesn't sound like there's anything close to being ready to be played, right?
No, nothing ready to be played live yet.
Have you demoed anything yet?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You got some demos.
Yeah, we got demos.
So do you feel you have enough material now for a full record?
No.
No.
Okay. So you're thinking a new record, if we're going to get one, is going to be next year?
Yes.
All right. There you go. Very cryptic answers
from Anthrax. No, it's very direct.
Yeah, no, exactly. Well, a few minutes left to go in what will be the final ever live show on Volume Channel 106 as Trunk Nation moves to Sirius XM 103 Faction starting Monday. New time slot of 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. You'll get a best of show here on Volume tomorrow, and then we relaunch on Monday. Same show, just a new channel, and an hour later. So everybody come on over and join me there. Couldn't think of a better way, though, to put a button on the Volume history. Actually, my friend Scott Ian sitting next to me actually was a host here on Volume at one point. You had a show for a bit.
Yeah, I had that talk thing, Never Meet Your Heroes.
Yeah, did you have fun doing that?
I had a lot of fun doing that.
Yeah, so Scott was part of the Volume team as well and went back to his day job playing guitar in Anthrax now. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to making the move. And, of course, bittersweet saying goodbye to Volume with the last live show today. But again, great way to wrap it up with people have been friends for 40 years here, the guys in Anthrax. And looking forward to seeing the show tonight. We'll squeeze in a few phone calls here before we have to wrap it up. And we pick it up with Cormac, who is in San Francisco, joining us right now. Cormac, you're on the air. Go ahead.
How's it going, Eddie? One of the first shows that I ever saw was Anthrax in Dublin. And I think it was on the State of Euphoria tour in 89. And around that time, the crowds had got into this weird habit of spitting on stage. And they started to do that at the Anthrax show. And so they stopped the show and they literally have to be held back by security, the band, from jumping into the crowd. Do they have any memories or what were their thoughts on that night, on that tour? I think it was summer of 89.
Yeah, yeah, there was a lot of that going on from like 86, from the first time when like we came over and opened for Metallica. And then, that was that weird thing in that time period where it was really only happening in UK, Ireland, where
Cardiff.
Yeah, like if Wales. The in Wales, if like there was a segment of the audience that if they liked you, they would spit on you.
It carried. It was from the punk rock.
Yeah.
They would gob.
Yeah, they would gob.
They would get a piece of them onto you.
Yes, I've heard about that.
That was the thought process.
It was disgusting.
It was gross.
And we were very vocal about that. We appreciate that you like the band and that you're having fun and you feel so connected and emotional that you want to express it this way, but we are not into it at all. Please do not spit on us. You're not going to get the reaction that you want. You're probably going to get punched in the face. And there was a lot of that over a period of time in the late 80s. My old guitar tech, John Rooney, used to carry a stickball bat, which is like a long broomstick kind of thing. And he would stand on the side while we were playing and he would watch. And when he would see someone in the front spitting at us, because a lot of times you're doing your thing, you can't see who's spitting. And he would see the people spinning and he would run out and he would bop them in the head with the stickball bat to give them one warning. Second time they did it, he would jump in and start punching them.
It was awesome.
Cormac, be honest with us. Were you one of the ones hawking loogies at Anthrax?
I wasn't. I was at the back and I'd heard that people had done this to a few bands, but Anthrax were actually the first band to fight back. And literally, I think Dan Spitz was halfway off the stage midair when he was pulled back by security guards. But the show was great up until then. I mean, I really enjoyed it.
I mean, I still have these. Remember when we were opening for Metallica in Cardiff and Cliff's bass solo? And so Cliff's on stage and it's just him with a spotlight. And there were so many fucking loogies.
They looked like fireflies.
It was like flies.
It was
in
insane.
The air.
There were so many
and
hundreds
his
of
hair,
them.
His long hair was just covered in spit.
It was all over his base. It felt so bad for him.
And it would stink because you have to. People are so instantly. Then their bad breath is in your hair, and it stinks.
And in those days, there weren't showers.
It would make me. I would like throw up. It would be all over me, and
we had no
puke.
Room up there, so you're a dead duck.
Yeah, you're dead. I mean, we had limited room, so my worst one was having my mouth open and right down the throat. Man, that was the worst. Yeah. It was disgusting. It was disgusting.
I mean, it is just. It's there's just in no way, shape, or form is that a positive. So I'm glad it stopped.
How can people spit that far? I
mean, they do.
They had it down.
It was a gob.
Trust me, it was like synchronized gob.
It was amazing.
That is disgusting.
Like an Olympic.
It is weird when you think about the stuff that people used to do at shows, because I brought this up the other day. If you remember, there was a time, which I'm glad this went away too, but 70s, early 80s, all of us going to shows where people felt it was cool to throw M80s
at
concerts, like quarter sticks of dynamite.
Too. We had that too in Phoenix.
I got hit in the face for Among the Living. I left the stage, didn't even sing the song.
Yeah, I got a rocket on my leg.
I mean, think about how insane that is.
Do you remember that Priest show at the Garden?
With the sea cushions?
The M80s.
Yeah, and the Maiden show.
Maiden show.
At Bruce. The Palladium.
Remember Bruce coming out?
At the Palladium.
At the Palladium,
Actually, Bill Barclay got hurt.
He's the one that got right. You know Bill.
Yeah, he blew out the sound channel. I was at that show. Yeah. Bruce came out and went off at the
Which
crowd.
Which one of you fuckers?
He was really pissed. That was amazing.
Yeah, and then if you listen to Aerosmith Live Bootleg, which is actually a truly
pop,
live record.
Europe.
If you hear the beginning of Lord of the Thighs, you hear him going off in the audience. Yeah.
Same with Peter Frampton when he does that acoustic set.
I tell people that are younger, I'm like, there was a time where people would from the upper levels throw explosives and think it was a cool thing to do. And that that's insane too when you really think about it.
Now that got replaced with guns.
Yeah. Here is Mike, who's in South Carolina. We talked a little earlier about Charlie doing the Pantera thing, but Mike wants to ask Charlie about another band that he is he joined recently.
Oh, that.
And this is fun. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Thanks for taking my call, Eddie.
Sure, Mike. Go ahead.
Hey, yeah. I wanted to ask Charlie real quick about Classic 78, the band, the Kiss-sounding band. That's incredible, by the way. I just wanted to know if there's anything on the horizon. I know probably not in the immediate horizon, but do you have any plans with them? And I'll hang up and listen. But I do want to say, if you're drumming, if you represent Vinnie Paul the way you represent Peter Criss in Classic 78, the sound, it's going to be incredible.
And that's a wide net. That just speaks to Charlie's versatility right there, from Anthrax to Pantera to Peter Criss, covering it all.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but anyway, I enjoy your videos on YouTube. I know it's not Classic 78, but like John Paul with the Kiss masks and all that stuff. John Five. The videos, y'all, Mr. Speed and all that stuff, pretty cool. So anyway, I'll hang up and listen. Thanks again, and y'all have a good day.
Thank you. I mean, the Classic 78 stuff was so much fun to do because it was like, come on, you know, this is what I grew up on, Kiss. So it was easy to really, you know, hone in on the Peter stuff. And those guys are so great. I mean, Tom just wrote these songs and it's like, yeah, let's do this. So there'll be another one too. We already have some songs ready to go. So look for another one probably next year.
I covered Classic 78, had the guys on. Tom Higgins is who Charlie's talking about. And if you're not familiar with what Classic 78 is, spelled K-L-A-S-S-I-K 78, it is new music that sounds exactly like music Kiss would have made in 70s. Like 78.
Yeah.
So it's, and there's a few records out, and Charlie joined on the last one.
The last one's my favorite.
Yeah, it's really, really cool stuff. And it freaks you out because you feel like you should be, like, it's Kiss,
it's a
but
great
it's
idea.
Not Kiss.
It's a great,
and it's, and my God, does he sing like Paul Simon.
He sounds great.
And Ace.
I wish Ace would do that song, Smoke and Mirrors.
Well, yeah. He might. I mean, he's always looking for material. I'll gladly give it to him. Let's say hi to Rob, who's on Long Island, joining us right now. What's going on, Rob?
Casciano.
Anthrax, I'm on with the boys.
Hey, Rob, go ahead, man. Go ahead.
Man. Anthrax, what's up, boys? Psyched to see you guys in Coney Island in August.
Right on.
Cool. Excellent bill you guys put together. I love all three. Hatebreed are my boys, too. Awesome. Lifelong Long Islander, first seen you guys opening for Metal Church, or maybe it was the other way around, at Sunday out here on Long Island in 1985. I was 15 years old. That's how I was introduced to Anthrax.
Wow.
I know you guys certainly don't remember the gig, but it was like 100.
I remember that place.
How I remember.
No, I kind of remember. It's funny, we were talking about the Sundance with Criss Angel last night.
It was just as hot as the Phoenix Show. I've
seen you guys all over New York. Got my tickets for Coney Island, but I got to say, I'm a New York guy. This place is a shithole now. And I'm actually nervous about going. I'm actually nervous about going to Coney Island, so I'm taking my wife to Ryman Auditorium in Nashville to catch you guys there before Coney Island. So twice
I thought you were taking your wife for security to go to Coney Island.
I know. She was his muscle.
I'm taking my wife.
This is going to kick anybody's ass who comes here.
But I love you guys. You guys are awesome. Charlie, you are the inventor of the blast beat. I don't care what anybody says. Awesome drumming, awesome guys. All five of you guys together create the best sound ever, and I can't wait to see you guys. Awesome.
Thanks, man. I'll see you at Coney Island. Thanks. Careful out there.
Yeah, Rob. Make sure you get.
Make sure you bring your wife.
Your wife is ready to kick some ass. Yeah.
That's awesome.
All right, Rob. One more quick one here. Here's Jason, also in New York. Go ahead, Jason.
Hey guys, how y'all doing? And good to
you're from New York.
See you back on the air.
Jason, are you from New York?
Well, I live in Ohio, but I drive a truck.
Oh, all right. I was going to say, that is not a New York accent.
You're kidding.
No, I deliver produce to New York.
Ah, all right. Well, Jason, what's your question?
My question is, if I was going to get one of you guys' CD, which one would be the first one to get?
If you were going to tell somebody to get an Anthrax record who did not have an Anthrax record, where do you begin? I think we kind of established that, right? With Among?
Probably.
Would you say Among?
Yeah, sure. Get Among the Living.
Because, I mean, and a caller made a previous point before, and that's a valid one. Worship music, unbelievable. Do not sleep on the newer Anthrax records. I can say that in full confidence. There's a lot of bands that's like, I don't bother with the new music. You cannot say that about Anthrax. The last couple records, I think, are among the best records they ever made. So
thank you.
Be sure to check those out as well. And if you want the classic stuff, I love Spreading. I love Among. I would go there as well. We're almost out of time. Guys, thank you for coming out here. Seriously, I appreciate it. And
thanks for having us,
Safe travels on the tour. Again, Anthrax, Black Label, and Hatebreed. Well, too much fun with those guys. We could go for hours and hours and hours, and often we do. And I went to see the band play that night, actually, after that interview was conducted at the Brooklyn Bowl in Vegas. Great set from Anthrax. Great set from BLS. I did not get there early enough to see Hatebreed. But great, great night of metal. If you get a chance, that tour's out there for a couple more weeks, two or three more weeks, I think, in the U.S. If you get a chance, by all means, go check it out. Really, really good sets. And all those bands very much on top of their game. So great to have them. And thanks to Zach and thanks to all the Anthrax guys for dropping by my Vegas place. It's great to have that place in Vegas to do this kind of stuff from. More to come in the very, very near future. Thank you for listening to the Eddie Trunk Podcast. I remind you again, everything you just heard and everything you do here on this podcast happens on my daily radio show, Trunk Nation, live Monday through Friday, new time, 3 to 5 Eastern, noon to 2 Pacific, Monday through Friday, and on a new channel. And that channel is SiriusXM Faction Talk, channel 103. Please be sure to set that as your preset. Get used to listening on 103. Soon you will not be hearing the show anymore on 106. I realize it's simulcast there at the moment, but that will change. So that's why we're pushing everybody to 103 to listen to the new channel. Same exact show, just on 103 going now and going forward. So be sure to note that so you don't miss anything. And of course, everybody else, you'll get a little taste of what I do on the radio here on Thursdays for a podcast each and every week. And again, be sure to follow on social media at Eddie Trunk, and eddietrunk.com is the website for info and updates. But the social media is the best place to go for up to the second news, especially Twitter and the Facebook page, where I will update frequently on any new stuff going on. Thank you all for listening. Joel Pollack is the producer. I will see you next Thursday here for another podcast. And hopefully on the radio each and every day on Faction Talk 103 starting at 3 o'clock Eastern Time. Take care.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's Mix and Match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.